Galatians chapter 3, commencing at verse 26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir.
Evening, everyone. How are you? You well?
Well, yes.
Because soon you get to go and sit under a tree and open up presents and stuff, yes? Maybe before Mum and Dad get up. That'd be a good thing to do. It's a great night. Christmas Eve is a great night. And thank you for allowing us to share this night with you. And what a great night to announce that St. Paul's was able to help 48 families get into new homes this year. That is simply brilliant. Because what a better way to celebrate Christmas than to give gifts to other people. Now, who would have thought that a church would give away enough money to do that for people that we've never met, may never meet, but in the hope that they will have a better life as a result? This is a great church to be part of. So those of you who are members of our church, thank you, because you've all contributed to that. And that helps make Christmas a richer event for us and for 48 families in another country. Of course, the Christmas story is a familiar story. There are people in the story that are familiar to us. There are people like Mary and Joseph. There are the shepherds. There's the baby Jesus. And maybe they're so familiar to you that they're part of your household. And every year, you dust them off and bring them out and put them on a table somewhere for all the world to see. My children love to get those people out. Ours are made of wool. They're knitted together and stuff. There's a bit of straw that we've had for donkey's years that the little baby Jesus is supposed to lie in. The game that we play when we come home at the end of the day is not where's Wally, but where's Jesus? He could be under a sheep, on a sheep, the back of a shepherd, under a Mary. He could be under the grave. He could be in the manger. That has not happened for some time. But we go looking for him anyway. And it's a familiar story, and we play with it. Well, someone plays with the characters in our household at the very least. As familiar as the story is, though, it's easy for us to get lost in Christmas at this time of the year. At the crowds, the car parks, the congestion at roundabouts. Oh, the congestion. They can take forever to clear as people keep coming into those. And a few hours of that. And the furthest thing from your mind is to say, Merry Christmas, while you sit there in my spot and take forever to move. Or the most furthest thing is, oh, holy night. It's not holy at all. And so we want to be careful that we don't lose the story of Christmas in the Christmas season. And so I want to take you not to a familiar part of the Bible where we meet our familiar characters, the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph, Jesus and the sheep and so on. But I want to take you to another part of the Bible, part that Shane just read out to us, because it talks about the superstructure that holds the Christmas story together, the familiar story. It is a superstructure which speaks of a massive transportation, taking men and women from slavery all the way through to complete and utter freedom. The superstructure, the story of Christmas, is taking people from slavery all the way through to complete and utter freedom. Let me read you the summary of it from the passage that Shane just read out. It's Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, where it says that we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, when the time was right, when the right time came, God sent his Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law, under the basic principles of this world, to redeem them, that they might receive the full rights as sons and daughters of God. It's pretty solid language, isn't it? Moving from slavery to complete freedom. But it's part of the superstructure of the story of Christmas. The Bible is saying, to be clear, that all men and women, all of us, either were or are still held in slavery to the basic principles of this world. The basic principles are the way things are, the way the world operates, the way things work. Over the centuries, people have tried to describe this, to capture the basic principles with words like, it's a mixture of earth, wind, fire, and water. It's the laws of nature. In the 21st century, we give expression to the basic principles in expressions like, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It's every man for himself. It all comes down to fate. Well, it was meant to be. These are things that are beyond our control, but they're common to every human being, and they shape everyone. And they do that in drastic ways. Now, to try and help us get an understanding of this, I want to invite Daniel to come to the platform with my two assistants, so make him feel welcome because this is late and so on. Daniel's going to take a seat here. And I just want to try and illustrate that these basic principles and how they work in our world and how they enslave a human being. The basic principles, things like it was meant to be, it's a dog-eat-dog world, it's every man for himself, that kind of thinking, so shapes us that the principles mold our thinking, our behavior, and our speech. And they form such a framework around everyone that it's as though we were chained up in slavery. We can't get out from underneath it. We can't get away from it. But we're chained as slaves into a particular way of living. As you read through history, you find that these basic principles are given expression in different ways, in different manners, in different eras. And everyone in a particular era seems to abide by the basic principles that are expressed in that era. Everyone thinks the same sort of way because everyone's shaped by the same sort of way. Allow me to show you Exhibit B. This is Exhibit A. This is Exhibit B. This is some correspondence between Timmy Jones and Santa. It starts like this. Dear Santa, how are you? How is Mrs. Claus? I hope everyone from the reindeer to the elves is fine. I've been a very good boy this year. I would like an Xbox 360, a Call of Duty 4, and an iPhone 5 for Christmas. Merry Christmas, Timmy Jones. Dear Timmy, thank you for your letter. Mrs. Claus, the reindeer, and the elves are all fine. Thank you for asking. Santa is a little worried about all the time you're spending playing video games and texting. Santa wouldn't want you to get fat. Since you have indeed been a good boy, I think I'll bring you something you can go outside and play with. Merry Christmas, Santa Claus. Mr. Claus, seeing that I have fulfilled the naughty versus nice contract, which I might add you set, I feel confident that you can see your way clear to granting me what I have asked for. I certainly wouldn't want to turn this joyous season into one of litigation. Also, don't you think that a jibe about my weight coming from an overweight man who goes out but once a year is a little trite? Respectfully, Tim Jones. Mr. Jones, while I have acknowledged that you have met some nice criteria, need I remind you that your Christmas list is a request and is no way a guarantee of services provided. Should you wish to pursue legal action, well, that is your right. The exercise I alluded to will not only improve your health, but also your social skills and potentially help clear up your pockmarked face. Very truly yours, S. Claus. Now look here, fat man. I told you I wanted, and I expect you to bring those presents. I was attempting to be polite about this, but you brought my looks into it, and now you're just disrespecting me. I'm about to tweet my boys, and we're going to be waiting for you, and I'm going to take my game console, my phone, and whatever else I want. Whatever I want, man. T-bone. Seriously? You think a dude that breaks into every house in the world on one night of the year and never gets caught is worried about you and your boys? He sees when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Sound familiar, genius? You're not getting what you asked for, but I'm still stopping at your house on Christmas Eve. Chew on that, S. Clausy. Dear Santa, bring me whatever you see fit. I'll appreciate anything, Timmy. That kind of correspondence unfortunately reflects some conversations that I have overheard, where in a matter of moments, mild-mannered citizen of the Hills District transforms into the Hulk before anyone knows what hit them. And the time to do that, that transformation, the time from nice, mild-mannered Hill citizen to the Hulk, that time frame is getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And it seems to develop a culture of entitlement. I ought to have an iPhone 5. I need an iPad Air. It is my right to have a Mac Air. I want all the air that I can get. And whenever this culture of entitlement develops, as it gains strength, I keep seeing the souls of men and women being eaten alive. It's just how the basic principles work in our era. These principles that chain us, that make us slaves. And everyone is affected. Everyone is chained. It doesn't matter how big you are or how strong you are. It doesn't matter whether you will make it to the cover of Men's Health or No Idea. It doesn't matter what career path you will have. These principles trap everyone. That's because those principles are much stronger than we are. So I've asked Daniel at the last service to see if he can get out of that. Let's have another. Can you get out of that? Like, really have a go at it. Come on. Don't fluff around with us. Come on. Stuck, huh? The Latin would be, sucks to be you. Everyone is trapped by this. And the effect of it is not, like, it can get pretty serious. A little bit like a day when I was a boy, swimming at the local public baths, the local public swimming pool. I was 4 or 5 at the time. It was a good day. It was summer. It was warm. The water was clean. It was inviting. And so I went to the pool with my dad, and I was having a good time jumping in and out of the pool. It was 5 or 6. Sometimes I would jump into the shallow end of the Olympic pool. That was the big stuff. But I certainly wasn't in the wading pool. That was for kids. So I was in the pool in the middle. And at the deep end of that pool, it was waist deep. I found a new friend to play with, and we started off playing tip and jumping in and out of the water, and the tip developed into a kind of wrestling thing because we were boys getting stuck into that. And the wrestling match led to a time when it was, let's hold someone's head under the water. I happened to be the first one to have the head stuck under the water. At first, I thought it was just part of the game, and this my new friend would let me up. But as my lungs burned, a fear kicked in. And even though I flailed my arms around and tried to get out, I was simply not strong enough to come out from underneath this bully's grip. I still remember, it was 50 years ago now, but I still remember it as if it was this morning, and I remember distinctly thinking, as a 5 or 6 year old, I'm going to drown. He was bigger and stronger, and I could not free myself. You'll be pleased to know there was more to that story. At that point, when I was weak, when I was under the water, when I could not break free, my dad stepped in. And if memory serves me, he clipped the boy under the ear, waved his finger in his face, had a word or two to him. And when my dad stepped in, I was set free. That's the superstructure of the Christmas story. When we are weak and held in slavery to forces that are much stronger than us, when we are in that position, that is when God sent his Son into the world. Born of a woman, the Bible says, in the first century, that was Mary. Born of a woman, comes and lives under the law. That is, he comes into the very place where we are held slaves, into the world where the basic principles operate. See, God is not distant. He's not disinterested. He's not some modern warrior who sits tens of thousands of kilometers away with a console like an Xbox 360 or something and shoots intercontinental ballistic missiles at some enemy. No, Jesus gets his hands dirty. He comes into our world, sits in it, and he doesn't clip under the ear, wave a finger, or simply say words to a bully. Jesus gets his hands dirty and he redeems us. He buys our freedom by using every last resource at his disposal to set us free. Now, the full story of that is made clear to us at Easter, and we'll get to that in April next year. And we'll do Easter weekend after a week or so of presenting Jesus Christ Superstar right here so that we can help everyone start to think again about Jesus and what he's done. But for now, it's important for us to understand this, that Jesus came to earth. His birth was for the express purpose of setting men and women free from being chained as slaves to the principles of this world. This is the superstructure of a familiar story. This is why the angel broke rank and called out to the shepherds one night, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I have great news of good joy to you. For today in the city of David, a Savior has been born, someone to come and break you out." And then when the other angels caught up, they broke out in a song which goes like this, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to all men on whom God's favor rests, because he has set men and women free." This is why the shepherds, when they heard this singing, when they heard the message, raced off to find Jesus and Mary and Joseph and were caught up in the wonder of it all. And as they reflected on it, they left singing and jumping and dancing in the streets and praising God, because now people have been set free from the principles of this world, just like Daniel's been set free from chains. Take a seat, guys. Thanks very much. When Jesus set people free from the slavery to the principles of this world, it wasn't simply so he'd set us free so we could be ex-slaves. He set us free that we might become adopted children. This is brilliant, friends. This is brilliant. Adopted children. Two boys were playing in the playground, and as they were doing that, they kind of got a little tense with one another. A little conflict started to take place. And in an effort to slap down one guy, the first guy said, "Well, you're adopted." And the other guy replied, "Yeah, but my parents chose me. God has chosen us and adopted us." And when I see parents in this church adopt children, it's just a wonder and a delight for me. They take this stranger and make them their own. Nothing that the parents has is off limits to the kid. Nothing. They share their table and their food. They give the child their name. They raise the child with their wisdom. They spend money on the child. They love the child. If the child gets frightened in the middle of the night, a child is invited into the bed of mum and dad so that the fear might subside. Family holidays, computers, even the dog is shared with the one who is adopted. And the adoption includes this right, the right to call the man of the couple dad. Bible here says that when we become children of God, we are given the right to call God Abba, Father. Just like Jesus called God Abba, Father. Now I know that for some people in this building tonight, the word Father, it doesn't carry good traffic. For whatever reason, your father was not a good man. And you are scarred with it, and it's bad. And the thought that God is your father might go something like this. If God is a father, and if he's anything like my earthly father, you can stick him in a dark place. But I want to tell you that God is nothing like those kind of earthly dads. This word, Abba, Father, it's a warm word. It's an intimate word. It's Papa, Dada, Dad. It's a warm word. Because it speaks of a God who wants nothing more than to welcome you into his embrace. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've become. He always has his arms open and says, "Come, you are welcome, for you are my adopted son. You are my adopted daughter." This is the Christmas story. Moving men and women, transporting them from slavery to complete freedom, to be given the full rights as children of God. And friends, Christmas then is healing balm to a human soul that's being eaten alive by the basic principles of this world. The basic principles of this world destroy a soul. The Christmas story brings life to a soul, for it embraces a human being. That is why Christians celebrate Christmas. That is why, because we know what it is to be moved, transported from slavery to freedom, to move from being slaves to being adopted children of God. It's like everyone who's set free. Nelson Mandela, who passed away just recently, you remember the images of him, you've seen them, of him walking to freedom after 27 years of being imprisoned. There is celebration in his face, celebration in the streets as he punches the air. Freedom, freedom, freedom. Any slave who's been set free in India or in the United Kingdom in the 1800s, they all celebrate their freedom. What else can you do when you've been set free? Jesus has done everything possible to set us free. Here's a question for you as we go into Christmas Day. Do you know this freedom? Do you know it? Not do you think about it, do you think you know it? Do you know it? Do you know what it is to be transported from being a captive slave to being free? Do you know the freedom of being adopted of a heavenly father? Do you know that? If you do, celebrate Christmas with great joy. But I wonder, do you know it? I read the testimony of an American slave, a black woman, who was a slave in the late 1800s. Her testimony was taken in the 1930s. I cannot remember her name, but I can remember almost every detail of her testimony. She talks about how the knock came at the door, that the master had been taken away, that they were now free folk. She remembers how her papa picked her up, her mama picked up her sister, and they carried them to the buckboard, and they laid them in the buckboard, and she could remember the flash of the grass against her legs, the hoot of the hoop owls, the moonlight, the stillness of the sky. She could remember every detail of her walk to freedom. Do you know the walk to freedom that Jesus offers? Do you know it? If you don't know it, then this Christmas could be the Christmas where you get to experience freedom. Get to enjoy being an adopted son or daughter of Abba. Would you like to be free? Would you like to know what that freedom is like? All you need to do is say, Jesus, I'm in. I don't like being chained to the principles of this world. I don't like that my soul is being eaten alive. Would you set me free? Would you adopt me and allow me to call your father Abba? That's all you need to do, is pray that prayer. If you would like to pray something like that, then I'm going to muddle my way through a prayer and you can say, Jesus, what he's asking for, that's what I want. That's what I want. So I'm going to pray something like that. If you agree, that's what I want, in the quietness of your own mind. And you can say amen with me. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the superstructure of the Christmas story. Even more so for your intent to set prisoners free, to break the chains that hold us to the basic principles of this world. Thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you that you came into our world in order to redeem us. I want to pray now for those who would like freedom because they've not tasted it yet. Oh God, would you let them hear your voice? Hear the cry of their heart which says, I'm in. I would like to be set free. And I would like to be able to call God Father. Protect them, we pray. Watch over them. And may it be that we celebrate for the rest of our days that we have been set free. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that, if you agreed with that for the first time in your mind, you are now a son or a daughter of God. You now have full rights. You get to call God Abba, Father, or Dad. And so effective is that invitation. It's immediate. You get to share in the family meal. And we're going to share that meal right now. And in order to help